Because Jesus said, sometimes it's the log or the plank in your eye that is not allowing you to see well the speck in your brother's eye. And he said you should deal with your own first. So sometimes it will help a great deal if we accept our own part of the situation. Matthew 18, verses 15 to 20. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So we've been sharing today on the topic, mending broken relationships. Mending broken relationships. We are designed for relationships. God said right from the scratch that it is not good for man to be alone. And when they asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment, he said, love God. And then love your neighbor as yourself. He said, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. So the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, four of them had to do with our relationship with God. The other six had to do with our relationship with other people, our relationships with other people. So it's about relationships, isn't it? It's about loving. But in the process of doing that, there are bound to be conflicts. It's just normal. Why? First, you are not perfect. Also, the people you're relating with are not perfect. We start from our families and then move on to the people we meet in school, the people we meet at work, the people in the neighborhood. We can't do without relationships. But in the process of cultivating and maintaining relationships, there will be conflicts. Resolving conflicts is a major part of the Christian experience. Sometimes people come through family experiences where they are not taught how to resolve conflicts. And when we leave conflicts to fester, they develop into things that we cannot control and that distort our lives. So we want to look at the Bible and get some ideas about how to resolve conflicts as Christians. Now, given the fact that love is primarily our nature, and God expects us to love one another, we should prioritize the restoration of broken relationships. Resolving conflicts is a major part of the Christian experience. And when we truly love, we should prioritize the restoration of broken fellowship and broken relationships. We should not discard relationships like disposable cups. They won't look, once issues crop up and look, the vibes are not positive anymore, just throw the relationship away. It doesn't work like that for us as Christians. In John chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus said, by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's amazing. That implies that the relationships between us as Christians form a major part of our witness to the world. To the people who are not part of the church. They can see God. Okay? They can only see us. But then it's the interactions between us. It's the way we behave towards one another. That, Jesus said, is the way they will know. They will recognize that we're godly. This is how people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So we need to pay attention, therefore, to the quality of the relationships between us as Christians. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, during the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." See? Blessed are the peacemakers. Please note, he didn't say, "Blessed are the peace lovers." Everybody loves peace, but not everybody makes peace. Why? Making peace requires effort. Making peace is hard work. Making peace is hard work. And that's why it's not everybody that does it. Peacemaking is hard work. So I have some little bit of advice. Whenever fellowship is broken or a relationship is broken, we should do something about it. And we should understand that God expects us to do something about the broken fellowship and relationship before we come to continue our relationship with Him. When our relationships with people are broken, it affects our relationship with God. Remember, Jesus said, if you bring your gift to the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, He said, leave that gift at the altar, go and make up with your brother, then come back and offer your sacrifice. That's important. So a Christian must prioritize the restoration or the mending of relationships. It should be a matter of urgency. Keeping malice with another Christian for 6 months is not an achievement. There is no point trying to break the world record for keeping malice. And you know, sometimes, especially in marriage, we are tempted to do that. You know? Yeah, what is it? I'm angry. Okay. If she cooks food, I will not eat it. Okay, fine. So, someone told me he was angry like that, you know, his wife did whatever, and he was so angry, said he wasn't going to eat her food. So that night, she prepared his dinner. He left it on the table. The following morning, she prepared breakfast. He left it on the table. He had to get it across to her that he was really angry. Then she thought to herself, wonderful. So it's because I cooked the food, right? So she stopped. Then he got angrier. So he told me that he thought it was a joke. No lunch, no dinner, no breakfast the next day. This is dead. Until, gratefully, being a Christian, the Holy Spirit just asked him, "What are you doing? What are you trying to achieve? It's not working. You got angry, you're not eating the food, and it's not working. Change your approach, okay? Change the style." So we should walk towards peace making. Amen. Let me read Matthew 5, 9 from the Amplified Bible. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. "Blessed," and in brackets, "enjoying enviable happiness, spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the makers and maintainers of peace, for they shall be called the sons of God." So what's the point in going about bitter, angry, resentful? I said, when you are blessed, you are enjoying enviable happiness. You are spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation. Amen. Make it up quickly. Amen. Make it up quickly. If you're a Christian, you should prioritize the restoration of broken fellowship. Anyway, I have some practical steps. Number one, to restore fellowship or relationships, number one, pray. Pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for the other person. Pray. Always remember that though there's the horizontal dimension to your relationships, there's a vertical dimension to it. God is interested. God is part of it. Pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for the other person. Prayer brings insight. When you bring God in and he lets you into his perspective to the situation, you will see things differently. It helps. Secondly, ask for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. When you pray, as you pray, ask God for wisdom, you'll be amazed what he will tell you to do to resolve the situation. Sometimes, it will surprise you. In fact, sometimes, it will disappoint you. But sincerely speaking, you can't beat God's methods. You can't beat his way. So, learn to ask him, what should I do? If you feel like beating her, ask him first. Number two, put yourself in the other person's position. Put yourself in the other person's position. Just for a short while. Just ask yourself, okay, let me try to see this thing from his perspective or from her perspective. It gives you capacity for sympathy. Gives you capacity for empathy. Very important. See, wherever you have conflicts, it's a sign it has become a matter of emotions. And the emotions need to be resolved. You need to be able to feel what the other person is feeling. With that, you can assuage the feelings. And then both of you can deal with the logics of the situation. But to resolve an issue, it makes a world of difference. I'll always share, you know, this story of a couple that had a heated argument in the morning. Christians. I mean, long-term Christians for that matter. Heated argument. And the husband angrily got into his car and headed for the office. It was on the way to the office that he was rolling in his mind the conversation. And light struck him. He just got some light. So he got to the office, picked the phone, called his wife, and said, honey, wait, I'm sorry about the whole argument. Okay, I just want to confirm something. Is this what you were trying to say? She said, yes, that was what I was trying to say. I said, but that was exactly what I was saying. I'm serious. The two of them meant the same thing. They were saying it in different ways, and they were quarreling. You know why marital issues are sometimes difficult to resolve? You are dealing with two adults who know what they're saying. You have to be smart sometimes to resolve those issues because a lot of the time, both of them are right. Who told you there's only one right answer? So, for you to be able to make peace, get on the same page, put yourself in the other person's position. Thirdly, do what Jesus said in Matthew 18. Talk to the person. Take the initiative. Take the initiative. This is very important. Go talk to the person. If you have an issue with someone, go talk to the person. And Jesus is putting the responsibility on you. If you know there's something between you and your brother, he said, you make the move. Go and meet your brother and talk it over. This is a powerful, powerful strategy from the Bible. You know, the challenge with us Christians a lot of the time, we have issues because we don't do the word. We know it, we say it, but we don't do it. Well, I know it's hard to go meet someone. I've done it a few times. It works. It will give you peace. It will give the other person the opportunity to explain. And I've had to walk up sometimes to people who are more powerful than myself, who are older than myself, and say, I heard that you said this about me. And I love the results. In one instance, I spoke to someone much, you know, superior to myself as a minister. But he said something about me. And I walked up to him. I waited 3 hours at his reception. And he insisted I had to see him. And eventually when we did, I said, "Sir, I heard that you said so and so about me." He said, "Yes, I said it." I said, "Why?" He said, "That was what I heard." I said, "Fine, there's another side to the story." He said, "I would like to hear it." When I was done, he said, "Good. Now that I've heard this, I'm done. I won't say anything about the issue anymore." Fine. And with that, we could cultivate a fantastic relationship. And what I'm talking about is over 20 years. See, to today, we have a beautiful relationship. That was better than to be sulking around and to be grumbling and to be complaining to angels and to demons. If you heard what so-and-so said about me, if somebody said that so-and-so person said so-and-so about me, all that is a waste of time for a Christian. Jesus said, walk up to the person and discuss it. Amen. Amen. And then Jesus said, if that doesn't work, he said, take one or two people along with you and go discuss it. If it doesn't work, he said, report it to the church leadership. Take it to the church. Now, if the church leadership can't resolve it, someone is not willing to listen to the leadership of the church, Jesus said, then consider the person a heathen and a tax collector. Now, somebody who is not saved, someone who doesn't know God. Now, does that give you the license to be bitter against the person? No. It just simply means crush your expectations. It's because somebody said he or she is a Christian. That's why you had expectations about their behavior. But if somebody is not a Christian, what expectations should you have? None, right? If you get surprised that a sinner sinned, you are a surprise. Okay? So, crush your expectations. That's what it means. Then there's no point being offended anymore. It's just anything the person does, you have the capacity to take it. What else should you expect? Good. And then, so, go discuss it. Confront it. I know it's not easy to confront, but it's better to do it. Some other time I've confronted someone and the person would say, me, I never said that kind of a thing. And I said, that's fine. That's fine. I want to be a Christian. That's why I came to ask you. Since you said you didn't say it, that resolves it. That's fine for me. If it's true, fine. If it's not true, the person will resolve his conscience with God. But as far as I and the person are concerned, the issue is dissolved. I can walk around in peace. But this next point is important. Accept your part of the conflict. Accept your part of the conflict. Because Jesus said, sometimes it's the log or the plank in your eye that is not allowing you to see well the speck in your brother's eye. And he said you should deal with your own first. So sometimes it will help a great deal if we accept our own part of the situation. And then next, please separate the person from the issue. Separate the person from the issue. When you do that, it helps you to reconcile, even if the issue is not resolved yet. You separate the persons from the issue, and many people find that very difficult around here. They tie their esteem or their ego to their idea, which is just an opinion. Everybody has a right to think. Am I right? God gave you a mind. You can think what you like with it. And for God's sake, sometimes there are many sides to the same situation. Many sides to the same story. So it's just ego. You know, if you insist, it's only your way that is right. That's foolishness. Okay? It's not only your own way that is right. Okay? It's only in mathematics that 1 + 1 = 2. In real life, especially in relationships, 1 + 1 can be 4. And 5, depending on who is doing the addition. Okay? And what somebody believes is what the person believes. So what I'm saying is, let's say, for example, your best color, the color you like is red. The color I like is blue. We don't have to come to the point where we both agree that red is the best color or blue is the best color before there can be peace. Right? We can separate the issue of colors and love each other. Yeah. Is it not colors? And then give each one the right to love what they love or to like what they like. You know, that happens in marriage a lot. Like there's a couple that they just got married and they were arguing over the color of bed sheet to buy. Someone wanted pink, the other one wanted blue. Okay, one wanted plain color. The other wanted flowery designs. And they were arguing where they were to buy the bed sheet. I said, that doesn't need argument. Buy the two. Buy the two. So put one first. So if the other party, you'll be able to bear it, knowing that your time will come, right? And just in case you so detest the color that is on the bed, sleep on the floor, on the couch. But we don't have to create World War III over that. So we can separate the issue from the person. Love the person while we're trying to resolve the issue. Amen. Romans 12:18, Paul the Apostle said, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So a Christian, therefore, can't be the one that is creating quarrels, causing quarrels, creating conflicts, tearing up strife. That's not Christianly. A Christian has to walk towards peacefulness. Amen. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that God makes today a day of restoration.
Amen.
Restoration of broken fellowship.
Amen.
I pray God gives us capacity,
amen,
by the help of the Holy Spirit, to overlook each other's mistakes and to forgive. I pray therefore for restoration of broken fellowships, restoration of broken relationships, and then whatever else may have been lost with them, we prophesy restoration today. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, as the relationships and fellowships are restored, I prophesy in the name of Jesus, lost opportunities are restored. Lost time is restored. Lost favor is restored. Lost promotion restored. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord.